they shouldn't, where there are Lord Shiva's dhams. Lord Shiva's dhams are the places predominantly Mayavadis reside in. And like Varanasi is actually the place of Lord Shiva, Kashi. And if that was the biggest center of the Mayavadis, because the Mayavadis are the followers of Lord Shiva. Shankaracharya, Mayavadis are the followers of Shankaracharya, and Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. In that way, Ujjain also is a place of Lord Shiva, Mahakal. There in India there are 12 Jyotirlingas, the abodes of Lord Shiva, and Ujjain is one of them. Actually in that area there are two or even three, like Mahakaleshwar, Omkareshwar. Omkareshwar also is just about 2 hours drive from Ujjain. Must be close to your place,
yeah?
How far is it from your place?
Really, 1.5 hours.
From Ujjain, I think it's about 3 hours. And Omkareshwar is also another place. But although Ujjain is a place of Lord Shiva, Ujjain also is a place of Krishna, Balaram. It was a place of Shandipani Muni, and Krishna Balaram went to study there. Therefore, the influence of Shaivite influence in Ujjain is not that prominent. Not that prominent means not that overwhelming. It's prominent, but not overwhelming. And now that ISKCON has come there, it's establishing Vaishnava culture. And we don't have any conflict with Mahakaleshwar temple. We go there and they are very respectful, friendly. But people have a very strong Mayavan influence. Sometimes I would ask people in a class, local people, that whether there is any difference between Jiva and Krishna, us and they say no. I used to get so angry. But then gradually they're changing, they're seeing the difference. That is the problem with Mayavad. Mayavad philosophy preaches that jivas can become Ishvara. And they ultimately they're all one. Ultimately everything is Brahma. So Narayan is Brahma in mode of goodness. The difference is that all ultimately all are Brahma. Brahma in the mode of goodness is Narayan. Brahma in the mode of passion and ignorance is Jiva. So when the Jiva transcends the mode of passion and comes to the mode of goodness, then Jiva becomes. And their understanding is sannyasis are in the mode of goodness. Sannyasis is supposed to be in the mode of goodness. Therefore, when one becomes a sannyasi, then he becomes Narayana. So they address them as Narayana. They address the sannyasis as Narayana. And the sannyasis are equal to Narayana, sannyasi is equal to Krishna. It's quite flattering because I'm a sannyasi. Sometimes they say that you are Krishna. and I just get so angry and I smash them. And There's some old people. I feel bad afterward. Like old people, they're in their 70s and all. And I blast them so heavily in the class, but I can't help it. Like when they speak such nonsense. Gradually it's changing, hopefully. I'll read the chapter summary. How all the residents of Varanasi became Vaishnavas. The residents of Varanasi were already, actually, most of them were Mayavadi. But just by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit, in all of Varanasi became Vaishnavas. All the residents became Vaishnavas. The following is a summary of chapter 25. A Maharashtrian Brahman who was living in Benares was a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was always very happy to hear the glories of the Lord, and it was by his arrangement that all the sannyasis of Varanasi became devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He invited all the sannyasis to his house to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this incident has been described in the 7th chapter of the Adi Leela. From that day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became famous in the city of Varanasi. The many important men in that city became his followers. By and by, one of the disciples of the great sannyasi Prakashananda Saraswati became devoted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this devotee explained Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Prakashananda Saraswati and supported his views with various arguments. One day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to take a bath at Panchakunda, and afterwards all his devotees began chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in front of the temple of Bindu Madhava. At that time Prakashananda Saraswati and all his devotees approached the Lord. Prakashananda Saraswati immediately fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and very much regretted his past behavior toward the Lord. He asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about devotional service in terms of Vedanta Sutra, and the Lord told him about devotional service that is approved by great personalities who know the Vedanta Sutra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then pointed out that Srimad Bhagavatam is the proper commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. He then explained the Chatushloki, four shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of that great scripture. From that day on, all the sannyasis of Varanasi became devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before returning to his headquarters at Jagannath Puri, the Lord advised Sanatan Goswami to go to Vrindavan. The Lord then departed for Jagannath Puri. Kaviraj Goswami then describes something about Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Subuddhi Rai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri through the great forest of Jharikhanda in the central India. At the end of this chapter, Kaviraj Goswami sums up the incidents of the Madhya Leela and instructs every living being to read this sublime book of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan through Jharikhanda and he returned also through Jharikhanda. Incidentally, Jharikhanda is in Madhya Pradesh and it is, actually now it has become a separate state, Jharkhand. And so that is the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may even have gone to Jain. Even visited Ujjain. Vaishnavi kritta sannasi mukhan kashi nivashinah sanatanam susanskritya prabhur niladrim agamat. After converting into Vaishnavas, all the residents of Varanasi who are headed by the sannyasis, and after completely educating and instructing Sanatana Goswami there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinoda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. এই মতো মহাপ্রভু 2 মাস পর্যন্ত শিখাইলা তারে ভক্তি সিদ্ধান্তে রয়ন্ত। লর্ড চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু ইনস্ট্রাক্টেড শ্রী সনাতন গোস্বামী ইন অল দ্য কনক্লুশনস অফ ডিভোশনাল সার্ভিস ফর 2 কনসিকিউটিভ মন্থস। পরমানন্দ কীর্তনিয়া শেখরের সঙ্গী, প্রভুরে কীর্তন শুনায় অতি বড় রঙ্গী। For as long as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Varanasi, Paramananda Kirtaniya, who was a friend of Chandrasekhar, chanted the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and other songs to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very humorous way. Sonnashir gan prabhure jodi upekhilo, bhakto dukho khandaite tare kripa koilo. When the Mayavadi sannyasis at Varanasi criticized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord's devotees became very much depressed. To satisfy them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his mercy to the sannyasis. Sonnashire kripa purve likhiyacho vistariya, uddeshe koriye iha sankhep koriya. In the 7th chapter of the Adi Leela, I have already elaborately described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deliverance of the sannyasis at Varanasi, but I shall briefly repeat it in this chapter. Jahataha Prabhur Ninda Kare Sannyasiragan Shuni Dukkha Maharashtriya Vipra Karaye Chintan. When the Mayavadi sannyasis were criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu anywhere and everywhere in Varanasi, the Maharashtrian Brahmana, hearing this blasphemy, began to think about this unhappily. So this is the thing with the Mayavadis. Because they have a totally different understanding, they cannot understand the mood and attitude of the Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnavas chant, Vaishnavas dance, Vaishnavas, they express their emotion, their love for the Lord very openly. Whereas the Mayavadis, their thing is that we'll become Brahman. So ultimately we all are Brahman and we'll become Brahman. So they become very grave, very dry. So when they see the Vaishnavas in that way, behaving in that way, they cannot understand that, they cannot appreciate that, and as a result of that, they criticize them. I mean, I personally had many experiences, that reminds me, long time ago, in 1979, I was in a place called Mandi. And it's in Himachal Pradesh. At that time I was in Chandigarh, and there was one person who was a life member. He used to come to Chandigarh. Yeah, one person from Mandi. He used to come to Chandigarh, and we developed a very good relationship. He became very fond of me. And so his niece, his brother's, younger brother's daughter was getting married, and he invited me to come to the wedding. So initially I thought, why should I go to a wedding? Wedding is not a place for, or occasion for the sannyasis to go. And those days I was a new sannyasi, so I was very strict with my sannyas order. Like, Prabhupada gave me sannyas in 77 and this was in 79. And I was quite young. And so Ramesh, although I was a very close, I had a very nice relationship with him. He was a very big businessman. I think he was the richest man in that area, in Mandi. Very wealthy person. And so he invited, and I kind of tried to avoid that. And he kept on insisting, and I told him, no, what shall I do there? Kind of that kind of answer. But then, 2 days before the wedding, his brother, two days or three days before the wedding, his brother, whose daughter was actually getting married, came to Chandigarh to do something for the wedding. They had to buy a lot of things and all. So Ramesh told him on his way back to pick me up. And he came to the temple, must have been around 10:30, 11 o'clock. I was already in bed. So he woke me up. And the devotees told me that he has come. And he just said that my brother asked me to take you to Mandi. And that time, you know, no matter how much I was trying to reason with him, he just wouldn't listen. And he insisted, no, look, I mean, you have to come. And so finally I agreed. I mean, I had to go, actually. I had to agree. And we drove through the whole night. Mandi is quite far from Chandigarh. Like, and it's a mountainous road. It's high up in the Himalaya. Beautiful place. Kulu, Manali is quite far. And Mandi is another place where they grow apples. That whole place grew a lot of apple. And anyway, so we went there. And in India, wealthy people, they went in their weddings and all, they invite all kinds, they invite the sannyasis. And there was a whole lot of Mayavadi sannyasis there. They were invited. And probably they became a little envious of me, because Ramesh was treating me in a very special way. Like all the sannyasis were staying in some other house, but I was staying in Ramesh's house. And then, but we used to meet for prasad. Well, prasad, they had a special cook who, Brahmin cooks who would cook for the sannyasis. And so during the prasad time, we would always meet. Otherwise, we would just cross our ways. I was not really so keen on talking to them. Because my whole thing was, the whole day practically, I was in Ramesh's house, and Ramesh used to kind of treat me. He was very, very respectful. And so then one day, these sannyasis were taunting me, used to kind of make jokes among themselves. They would kind of, when you would meet, they would make some sort of funny comments, and they would laugh. And then one day, so they were laughing at me. I mean, they used to kind of like, but I kind of didn't. This was only during the prasadam time. Then one day, there was a younger kind of, he was not really a sannyasi, he was a brahmachari, or assistant maybe, and servant of one of the sannyasis. So he was alone with me, and he made some silly comment like that. He saw others were joking, laughing at my expense, so he also wanted to. So then I got on his case. Not in case, that's where, like I just started to explain to him And I still remember, like, asking, what is your understanding? That ultimately, he said that, that Brahma Satya Jagannatha, ultimately everything, Sarvam Khalidam Brahma, everything is ultimately Brahma. And so, and Brahma is Nirakar, Ishwar, Narayan, ultimately. Then I asked him, tell me who is greater, Narayan is greater or Brahma is greater? So he said, Brahma is greater because Narayan is Brahma in the mode of. At that time, I didn't actually know that Mayavadi philosophy so well. So he said that Mayavadi, Narayan is actually in the mode of goodness. Brahma in the mode of goodness is Narayan. So I asked him, that means Narayan is of the material nature? He said, yes. Then I said, I asked him, did you read Bhagavad Gita? And he said, yes. Then I asked him, did you come across this verse, Urdhamulam Adhasakham? And he said, yes. I said, what does it explain? He said, the material nature. Explain. The material nature is like a banyan tree that has its root upwards, branches downwards. Then I told him, but then what does it say? Did you ever see any tree that has its root upwards and branches downwards? So what does it actually mean? So he kept on thinking. So I said that doesn't this actually mean that it is a reflection of the real tree? And that has been explained afterwards, that this material nature is a reflection of the spiritual reality. So Chandamsi Jasya Patrani, Jastam Vedasa Vedavi. The Vedic hymns are the branches, are the leaves of those trees, Chandamsi Jasya Patrani. So in the real tree, there are branches, there are leaves, because the tree is reflected in this way. So whatever is there in the material nature is existing in the spiritual nature. And so he didn't have anything to say. And then I pointed out, how can you say that the spiritual nature doesn't have any variety or variegatedness? It is only the junction between material and spiritual nature, that is impersonal. Where the form, the reflection is not really clear, there it is impersonal concept. Brahman is not the spiritual reality. Brahman is actually the outer surface of the spiritual reality. Brahman is the bodily effulgence of the Lord. But the Lord is there in the spiritual sky and with his full variety. He was quite a nice person. I still remember him. Quite a handsome-looking person. He was from Punjab, and he was quite young. Probably we were of the same age. He had beard. I was shaved head. So, and he was quite friendly. Yeah, that's what actually happened. Together we went for a walk, and we are having this discussion in this way. And he kind of became, he didn't have anything to say. He kind of defeated. So he must have gone back and told the others that this is what happened. So then, one day Ramesh was taking me to show some temple. Actually, Ramesh was so fond of me, became so fond of me, he just wanted me to stay in Mandi. And he had a, he in Mandi, right up on the hill top, there was an old temple. And a large piece of land and a beautiful temple, actually. And he was telling me that, why don't I stay? And he will arrange for me to have that temple. If I just stayed there. It was in no way. Like, I mean, when you join ISKCON, like, you don't want to get stuck at one place. In those days, my whole outlook was different. And then Ramesh, one day, yeah, we were actually going, Ramesh was taking me to show that temple. And he invited one of the old sannyasis, elderly sannyasis. At that time, he must have been around late 60s, 70 years old. And so Ramesh was in the front seat, the driver was driving, and two of us were sitting in the back, that sannyasi and myself. No, it was a jeep. It was not a car, it was a jeep. Two of us were at the back. So that person, he came up in some taunting way, laughing way. He tried to, "Oh, you are this, like your understanding is this." And so I just gave him fully, like, and I just pointed out that, look, you are saying that Shankaracharya, that you're following it from Shankaracharya, but you don't understand why Shankaracharya did that. And by Krishna's mercy, some verses just came at the tip of my tongue, and I quoted that verse, Mayavadam Ashutchastam, Prachanna Buddham Uchati. So Shankaracharya came to accomplish certain mission that you do not understand why he did that. The Vedic understanding is not what Shankaracharya presented. Vedic understanding is not impersonal. Vedic understanding is fully personal. The ultimate Vedic understanding, all the scriptures are actually pointing out that Lord is a person. And Shankaracharya himself pointed out, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Mudha Mate. That you mudhas, you fools, Bhaja Govindam, chant Govinda. So why don't you realize that instruction of Shankaracharya? If you're a real follower of Shankaracharya, then and Ramesh was in ecstasy. When I blasted that guy, he just became quiet. He didn't have anything else to say. And and I told him that, you know, take the entire Vedas, take the scriptures, and you prove to me that the Vedas are saying that the Lord is, ultimate consideration of Lord is Brahma. Rather, on the other hand, the scripture is saying that Brahman is the bodily effulgence of the Lord. So tell me, what is more relevant, more important? The effulgence is the source, or the personality is the source? The energy is the energy is the is the energy the cause, or the energetic is the cause? And I pointed out, this material nature is the cause of the cause of the material nature is the energy, Brahman. But what is the cause of Brahman? The Brahman must be the cause of Brahman. The inner cause of energy must be the energetic. And I was so heavy, and I was quite young those days. I was about 31 years old. No, not 31. I must have been 33 years old. And he became quiet. And from that time onwards, they stopped laughing at me. And I also started to avoid them. Yeah. Actually, Ramesh's wife was a vegetarian. Originally, they were not, at home, they were not vegetarian. Ramesh's wife started to cook for me. Ramesh was quite elderly. Nice people. I feel, I mean, now that I'm remembering, I feel bad that we didn't maintain the relationship with those people. India is a very interesting place. Wherever you go, you develop relationship. And they kind of cherish those relationships so fondly. But we, because of our hectic schedule, we forget. Like, I remember I was traveling in North Bengal, that was even earlier, that was in 78. And we developed some relationship, and when devotees come back, they tell me that they went to that place, and those families still remember me. And they ask about me, and they say that Maharaj gave us the words that he would come back, but he never came back. Anyway, সন্ন্যাসীর গণ প্রভুরে যদি উপেক্ষিল, ভক্ত দুঃখ খণ্ডাইতে তারে কৃপা করিল। When the Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi criticized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord's devotees became very much depressed. To satisfy them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his mercy to the sannyasis. That reminds me of another incident, how just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could feel that his devotees were feeling bad, so then Mahaprabhu actually, for their satisfaction, he did something. That reminds me of another incident. Like once one person came to see Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was very enthusiastic. Whenever somebody came to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada would show them the books. That how, that's because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted him to do that. Prabhupada had that pride, that excitement, that how he is fulfilling his Guru's instructions, Guru Maharaj's instructions. And so to this Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada showed the book, Srimad Bhagavatam, that just got printed. But that person, I just noticed, I was there, and that person, I could see that he was not impressed, rather he became kind of very cold, like there was no appreciation from his side. And I could sense that, and I was kind of getting agitated inside. And then at one point, that person just told Prabhupada, but where are the anvayas? Anvay means the Sanskrit words are elaborately, are kind of explained. That means meanings. And I just felt like telling him, like, don't you see the word for word meanings here? Where is the anvay? Don't you have the eyes to see where the anvay is? Like, anvay literally would mean in English, what in Sanskrit is anvay, in English is word for word, meaning. But I could not do that in front of Srila Prabhupada, but inside I was just boiling. And so Prabhupada didn't say anything. Prabhupada just tolerated him. And then I felt, then Prabhupada started. Prabhupada just minced him. He said, why don't you all do something for spreading Krishna consciousness? All your life, what have you done? Why don't you do something to spread the movement? This person was actually Prabhupada's godfather. The Guru Maharaj wanted to move, to spread this movement all over the world. But what did you all do? You ruined all that he had achieved, all that he had done. And I was feeling ecstatic. And I felt as if Prabhupada initially didn't want to say anything, but when he saw as the super soul, or representative of the super soul, in communion with super soul, Srila Prabhupada could understand what was going on in my heart, and Prabhupada just smashed that person, and I was... Anyone who knew Srila Prabhupada, he knew that how disappointed he was with Gauri Math. He used to very openly tell that they destroyed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's movement. And now they claim that Prabhupada actually gave them, made them his real representative. I believe last Sunday feast Trivikram Maharaj gave that, spoke on that. That if Narayan Maharaj is Prabhupada's successor, then why didn't Prabhupada put his name in the will? It's a good point. I think I got some nice point. That's a very good point. Like if they are his, if Prabhupada, that's what they're claiming. Prabhupada actually made, quietly Prabhupada told him and Prabhupada, so forth. If that is the case, why didn't Prabhupada name them? Put his name in the will. Prabhupada gave a clear will. Prabhupada gave clear instructions all through his books, and even the last days, Prabhupada spoke for hours together on how to maintain, how to continue this movement. There was not a single mention. On the other hand, Prabhupada was actually asking us to avoid them, offer respect from a distance. Don't get involved with them. But the unfortunate thing is, most of the people don't even know. They were most of the, even many of Prabhupada, actually Prabhupada had so many disciples, but very few actually had the access to associate with Srila Prabhupada. Many devotees got initiated, but really just saw Prabhupada once or twice in their whole life. So they don't understand Prabhupada's teachings, Prabhupada's mood, Prabhupada's mission. And they get carried away, and that's what is happening. Actually, when less intelligent people, or less those who are not really in close association of Srila Prabhupada, they drift away, that's understandable. But the unfortunate thing is, when those who are closely connected to Srila Prabhupada, close, trained by Srila Prabhupada, heard from Srila Prabhupada, they go and join them. সন্ন্যাসীরে কৃপা পূর্বে লিখিয়াছে বিস্তারিয়া উদ্দেশ্যে কহিয়ে ইহা সংক্ষেপ করিয়া। ইন দ্য সেভেন চ্যাপ্টার অফ দ্য আদি লীলা আই হ্যাভ অলরেডি ইলাবোরেটলি ডিসক্রাইবড Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deliverance of the sannyasis at Varanasi, but I shall briefly repeat it in this chapter. Yeah, but to go back to that point, like why do I speak so frankly and openly about this, about what ISKCON, what Prabhupada wanted, what ISKCON should do, so that you all at least understand what should not be done. Because spiritual life is very dangerous, and personally I don't think that the devotees, even my disciples, I should treat my disciples and junior devotees as a bunch of children. They're not, I mean, you all are not children. You all are intelligent, you have accepted Krishna consciousness, so why should we hide? Rather we should be very frank and open about what is to be done. If we are in a battlefield and if we don't speak about our strategy to the soldiers, how will they fight the battle? If we think that, oh, soldiers are a bunch of kids, don't speak to them. Only with the high-ranking officers you speak about the strategy. No. Whatever the war strategy is, like it's displayed across the board. Everybody knows. So that everybody knows what is the mission, what's the goal. Okay, thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? No question. So everyone understood everything. Or it takes some time to think it over. Anyway, so take this process very seriously. This is an opportunity of and eternity. It's not only an opportunity of a lifetime, it's an opportunity of eternity. And irrespective of our age, irrespective of our whether we are men or women, old or young, everybody should take it up very seriously. Then the reward will be so wonderful. Just free from material bondage. Even we are in the material nature, we don't have any bondage. We are not under the jurisdiction of Mahamaya anymore. We are not under the control and the mercy of the demigods anymore. We are Krishna, we are directly under Krishna. So even the demigods will respectfully treat us. I mean, when we become devotees. Because they know that we have taken shelter of Krishna, so we are Krishna's people. Hare Krishna, go Priman.
Just to clarify that you are saying that the difference between the Mayavadi and the Brahmanandi is like the Mayavadi, they consider Brahman to be the next level, but they ignore Krishna.